From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President sees Bali tourism revival by mid-year. Finance minister stresses need for regulating digital transactions. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has predicted that Bali Island's tourism sector would begin to revive around the middle of this year. It was said by Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. However, he said there are preconditions that Bali must fulfill in order to bring its tourism sector back on track. He further explained President Joko Widodo has highlighted the importance of managing the COVID-19 infection rate, as it is important to Bali's tourism recovery. Minister Uno said Jokowi also underlined the importance of a successful vaccination program and public support for the implementation of health protocols, contact tracing, and self-isolation. The minister said if all vaccine doses are distributed, President Jokowi expects that Bali's tourism sector could start reviving by June or July this year. The rise in digital transactions following vast developments in technology requires a further formulation of rules to reduce potential risks. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati observed at the International Conference on Digital Transformation in Customs on Tuesday, at least there are four reasons why digital transactions need some rules. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indrawati noted the first reason is to have a good record on digital transactions in Indonesia. She explained the imposition of import duties and requirements for business persons to report digital transactions will create a more accurate trade statistic, which will help the authorities to take further policy action. Second, digital transactions are considered to have a high risk of misappropriation or illegal dealings, so the government needs to strictly monitor them. The minister said the technology of 3D printing that has gained popularity recently could allow users to produce goods that can potentially harm the public. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi confirmed that the government will not ban the homecoming exodus, locally known as mudik, during Idul Fitri 2021. As reported by Antara News Agency, Minister Sumadi stated at a working meeting with Commission 5 of the House of Representatives on Tuesday, the government, through the Transportation Ministry, has not prohibited the homecoming exodus during Lebaran this year. Sumadi spoke of the ministry's intent to coordinate and work along with the COVID-19 task force by intensifying efforts and tracing people who were going home. Furthermore, the ministry has issued 7 policies pertaining to transportation for Lebaran, comprising endeavors to continue to rigorously disseminate information on health protocols and implement them from the point of departure, during the trip, and when the travelers arrive at their destination. All athletes competing in the Indonesian Basket League or IBL in Robinson Resort Bogor, West Java, were administered the COVID-19 vaccination. The inoculation mirrors the support of the Youth and Sports Ministry and Health Ministry to safeguard athletes against COVID-19 and to boost their self-confidence to compete in the event amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The government has fulfilled the pledge to vaccinate IBL participants against the COVID-19. Data of the athletes were received 3 weeks ago and were later processed at the Health Ministry. It was said by Secretary of the Youth and Sports Ministry, Gatot S. Dewa Broto, noted in a press statement released on Tuesday. He remarked, may the vaccination have a constructive impact on the athletes' immunity because at the arena, they follow the highly stringent health protocols. Now we move to the international news. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said on Wednesday that Australia will immediately provide 8,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses and critical health equipment to Papua New Guinea, or PNG, due to the spike in new coronavirus infections in the country. As quoted, as reported by Reuters.com on Wednesday, Morrison said Australia will also request AstraZeneca PLC and European authorities to grant access to 1 million doses of the country's contracted vaccines for PNG. Australia will also suspend all charter flights for 2 weeks from Wednesday midnight and outbound travel to the country. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters on Tuesday that President Joe Biden wants to make the child tax credit included in his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief program permanent. As reported by Reuters.com on Wednesday, Biden and other officials in his administration are traveling across the United States to promote and explain the newly enacted relief measure, which provides $1,400 stimulus checks to most Americans. The package also expands the U.S. federal child tax credit for 1 year to a fully refundable $3,600 credit for children under 6 and $3,000 for children aged 6 to 17 from a partially refundable $2,000 per child. Experts say the move will significantly decrease child poverty in the United States. The Center for American Progress, a progressive think tank, estimates nearly 11 million or 1 in 7 U.S. children live in poverty. We end the news with countries around Europe that are seeking further clarification on the safety of the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine amid criticism of their decision to suspend giving the jab. As quoted by BBC.com on Wednesday, France, Germany, Spain, and Italy have said they are awaiting an investigation by the European Union's regulator into reports of clots in a small number of recipients. But other European Union members, including Poland and Belgium, are continuing its use. The European Medicines Agency, or EMA, will release its findings on Thursday. On Tuesday, the EMA said it was still firmly convinced of the benefits of the AstraZeneca drug. Its head, Emma Cook, pointed out that blood clots highlighted by some countries were relatively common in the general population. She said she wants to stress at present there is no indication that vaccination has caused these conditions. Well, listener, that was the news.
Oh, The dreams of peace and democracy in Myanmar have yet to come true. After the coup by the military junta on February 1st, casualties on the part of civilians continued to fall. The country has yet to find a solution to the military takeover of power. After the burning down of a number of factories which were Chinese investment, it seems as if the military had the opportunity to impose a state of emergency in several places. Six cities, since last Sunday, have declared a state of emergency. The AFP news agency verified that during the demonstration Sunday and Monday, dozens of people, including women, had died as a result of military fire. Apparently, protesters set fire to the factories for accusing China of supporting Myanmar's military. It is possible that the arson and the accusations will disturb the government in Beijing. Previously, the Chinese government stated that it did not interfere with the political and social crisis in its neighboring country. Unlike the United States and several Western countries, China considers what is happening in Myanmar as a purely domestic matter. This is despite the fact that the UN Security Council has criticized the violence perpetrated by the military. On the other hand, the condemnation and sanction imposed by the United States and several other countries on Myanmar military officials still have not shaken the ASEAN and its member countries in responding to the crisis in Myanmar. ASEAN so far remains obedient to the commitment of non-interference in the domestic affairs of its members. This may very well make the military feel comfortable. Myanmar is the last country to become a member of ASEAN, because the Association of Southeast Asian Countries considers Myanmar to have become democratic. The situation is expected to make the military continue to commit acts of violence against protesters who support Aung San Suu Kyi. Meanwhile, Aung San Suu Kyi was unable to act because she was in detention. The country, which has begun to gain appreciation thanks to the realization of democracy some time ago, is now receiving attention and criticism due to violence by the military enforcing its power. For its neighboring countries, what happened in Myanmar can certainly be a material for study and consideration on how to keep democracy growing, along with the steps to make people live in peace.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on March 17, 1957, the accident of Douglas C-47 aircraft. Douglas C-47 aircraft named Mount Pinatubo crashed on the slopes of Mount Manunggal, Cebu, the Philippines, killing the 7th Filipino president, Ramon Magsaysay, and 24 other passengers. Some Filipino top government and military officials, as well as journalists, were among the passengers. A reporter for the Philippine Herald, Nestor Mata, was the only survivor in the accident. Moving to an event on March 17, 1963, when Mount Agung erupted. The eruption of Mount Agung in 1963 shocked the whole Bali island. At that time, the activity of the highest mountain in Bali started increasing since the early year, reaching its peak on March 17, 1963. On that day, Mount Agung spewed volcanic ash to the air up to 10 km. This was the eruption peak. More than 1,000 people died and thousands were injured. Many houses, farms, and plants were burned. We end Today in History with an event on March 17, 1969, when Golda Meir became the first woman to be Israeli Prime Minister. from March 17, 1969 to June 3, 1974, Golda Meir became the first woman to be Israeli Prime Minister. Previously, she served as the Minister of Labor and Foreign Minister. Golda Meir was called as the Iron Lady of Israeli politics. Well, listener, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian and Singaporean governments continued bilateral economic cooperation strengthening through the Three Bridges Cooperation. It includes the Digital Bridge, Infrastructure Bridge, and Travel Bubble Bridge. The Travel Bubble is opening the boundary zone to allow citizens to cross borders as long as not going beyond certain limits. Aside from tightening bilateral relations, the cooperation also strengthened the two countries' existence in ASEAN and beyond. That was stated by Economic Coordinating Minister of Indonesia, Airlangga Hartarto, in an official statement on Friday. Minister Hartarto said the Indonesia-Singapore digital bridge was expected to realize with Batam as the center for Indonesian data center and digital industry development. Previously on March the 2nd, Indonesian government had inaugurated the special economic zone Nongsa Digital Park in Batam. The Nongsa Digital Park was expected to be an entry point for international IT companies from Singapore and many other countries, as well as to save Indonesian foreign exchange in digital business for around 20 trillion up to 30 trillion annually, with the biggest contribution from data center and international education. Then, the infrastructure bridge will begin with the development of Batam Bintan Bridge across 6.4 kilometers in 2022. Later, the Batam Bintan Bridge will be divided into three plans, namely Batam Island, Tanjung Sawah Island, and Bintan Island. Airlangga said the bridge will ease the business people in Bintan to send their agricultural products to Batam, which will be exported to Singapore or other countries. Also, the Batam Bintan Bridge is expected to increase connectivity from Batam and Bintan to Singapore and vice versa. Meanwhile, the Travel Bubble Bridge aims to boost the tourism sector with Bintan as a tourism destination for Singaporean visitors. About this, Indonesia and Singapore agreed to form a team discussing the travel bubble between Singapore and Indonesia. The travel bubble will begin with a travel arrangement agreement between Singapore and Batam Bintan Karimun areas for business people and tourists. Airlangga Hartarto added, with the travel arrangement, the business people and tourists will be allowed to travel freely around Batam, Bintan, Karimun, Singapore, and vice versa, certainly by complying with the tight health protocols. The cooperation was discussed in a virtual meeting of Minister Airlangga Hartarto, Singaporean Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat, Singaporean Ambassador for Indonesia Anil Kumar Nayar, and Indonesian Ambassador for Singapore Suryo Pratomo on Friday.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh hatiku. Oh cintaku, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu merasakannya bahwa hatiku ini milik kamu seorang, milikmu sayang. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah memaafkanku, menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Located in the Mount Rinjani area, Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, Sapit Village promises a beautiful view that pleases visitors' eyes. Above 697 meters above sea level, you can see a view of stunning sunrise. For a long time, tourists have made Sapit Village a point to enjoy the sunrise. The beauty of the morning sun is usually used as a tourist attraction, starting the new year after enjoying a year-end party in Lombok. Sapit Village can be reached within 2 hours from Mataram City. You will also be greeted by the cool mountain air there. Around this Sapit Village, you can visit the Japanese Powell Hill at an altitude of 2,300 meters above sea level. It was named the Japanese Pal Hill because there was a pal or marker stone pillar from the Japanese occupation era. Unfortunately, some time ago, the pal was destroyed due to the misperception as a marker of the location where the Japanese heritage was stored. Even though after it was dismantled, there were no assets found. Japan Pal Hill is usually crowded with tourists during the summer to see the sunrise and sunset. The location is suitable for tourists who like camping, because there is a 2.5-hectare camping ground. You can enjoy the sunrise and sunset on the hill. Sapit presents a lot of natural beauty. Around Sapit, there are also Lemor Bath, Lemor Botanical Gardens, and Sabaw Hot Springs. Everything is equipped to meet the traveling needs of the visitors. For example, Sabaw Hot Springs are often visited by tourists who want to take a hot sulfur bath. For tourists who want to go to Sapit Village, a number of homestays are available to stay. Even though you are traveling, you still need to follow the health protocols so that your vacation will be healthier and more comfortable.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpi? Aku mau menunggu semua yang masih belum pasti, menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana cara tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu.
mau.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about lingkungan rumah, which means neighborhood. So stay tuned. Listen to the conversation entitled Berapa Kali, which means how many times. This conversation is between Kevin and Boris, his new neighbor. Boris wants to know how many times trash men take garbage from his house.
Kevin, berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah?
3 kali seminggu.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Berapa kali, which means how many times. Seminggu, which means a week. Petugas kebersihan, which means trashman. Mengangkut, which means take. Sampah, which means garbage. Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Which means, how many times a week the trash man take the garbage? Tiga kali, which means 3 times. Tiga kali seminggu, which means 3 times a week. In the dialogue, you listen to a question, berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Which means, how many times a week the trash men take the garbage? In the question, there is an expression, berapa kali, which means, how many times? The question, berapa kali, which means how many times, is used to ask frequency of someone doing something in certain time. For example, berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Which means how many times a week the trash men take the garbage? To give information on the frequency of someone doing something, you can answer like what Kevin says in the dialogue. Here are the other examples to ask and give information on frequency of someone doing something. Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Which means, how many times a week the trash men take the garbage? Tiga kali seminggu, which means 3 times a week. Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah? Which means, how many times a week the trash men take the garbage? Dua kali seminggu, which means 2 times a week. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kevin, Berapa kali seminggu petugas kebersihan mengangkut sampah?
3 kali seminggu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, now I would like to present a song from Bengkulu, Jibeak Weo. Jibeak Weo is one of the songs from Bengkulu, which means don't be like that. The lyrics of the song remind human beings not to often complain and easily lose spirit. In spite of having shortages, it is better to continuously thank for the goodness obtained. Well, listener, here is the song Jibeak Weo by Karel Simon. Happy listening.
Of Indonesia.
Listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.